Aren't we blessed to have so many wonderful musicians and vocalists in our church, and how they are so God-honoring in the way that they present the music each and every week? Praise God for the wonderful spirit that is here and the singing and worship that has already occurred. Well, I did something Friday night that I really can't tell you the last time I did it. I took my wife to a movie. Just the two of us. Boys weren't along. It was just the two of us. We went to see the new movie, Do You Believe? And, you know, I don't want you to think I'm up here as some holier-than-thou legalistic guy. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't go see this movie or that. It's just something we don't do. Certainly not by ourselves, but what a treat. I had forgotten what it was like. You know, there's parts in that movie where she kind of snuggled up to me. I've forgotten how nice that was, you know. I'm like, come on, guys, come out with some more movies, you know. But it's so interesting. I mean, everybody kind of probably will have their favorite when they go see this movie. I got to tell you, my favorite character in the whole movie is Lee Majors. You'll never see the $6 million man in the same light again. It's awesome. I think Gina's favorite character, now you'll have to ask her, but I think it was probably Brian Bosworth, his character. She liked the Boz, but I'm not going to spoil it for you. You just got to go see it for yourself. But it's an awesome movie. It's called Do You Believe? You know, as I think about that movie and other movies that have come out recently within the last few years, it amazes me. You know, oftentimes we talk about the bad news, all the bad things that are going on in society. And there are a lot of bad things. There's a lot of things, if you let it, it'll keep you up at night. Trouble and sorrow and pain and seeing our culture headed the wrong way. But you know, God's still at work in the midst of all of those kind of things. God is still on His throne. God still has a plan, and God is still calling people to Himself. Amen? And it's interesting to me how God uses the most unlikeliest of people and places and things to make His name known, to make His name great and famous. And it's interesting how just in the last few years, He has opened up this media, this means of the arts and entertainment and movies and visual things to share the story of the gospel. Isn't that amazing? I don't know about you, but I kind of shake my head when I think about that, because there was a time when I would have bet you a lot of money that there would not be Hollywood producers and major actors playing in overtly Christian-themed movies where the gospel is clearly shared. And here's the other thing that's cool about it. People are coming to see those movies. They are watching them. They're going to the theaters and watching these movies. There's a TV series. I don't plug a lot of stuff up here, but there's a TV series that's coming out on Easter Sunday night. We're dismissing services here, so don't worry about it. You're not going to miss church. But it's called AD, The Bible Continues. Now, I don't know how many of you, I'm not going to ask for hands, because there was another show that came out a couple years ago. This is a sequel to a program called The Bible. And it came out in 2013. It was produced by Roma Downey and Mark Burnett. And it got huge ratings. It was the third most watched cable television miniseries of 2013. 4 out of every 10 Americans watched at least one episode. 7 out of 10 Americans that were polled said they learned something new when they watched it. And get this, over 25% of those who were polled said they were not Christians. So I'm very excited about this program. By the way, it's coming out on NBC. And that's another matter in itself, that NBC would show something like this. But I won't go there. It's amazing. Programs that are Jesus-centered, that are clearly presenting the gospel, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Let me ask you a question. Why are so many people tuning in? Why would these programs and movies and shows, invariably, when they are well done and well produced and well made, why would masses of people watch them? Well, folks, it's very simple. Because people love a great story, don't they? I mean, you and I, we love a great story. We're just wired that way. We connect with stories, whether they're on television or in the movie theater or in novels, we love stories. And we, folks, have been wired to connect with the greatest story of all. the story of God's great rescue plan, God's redemption plan. The story that God has an amazing plan to restore you back to Him. He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, so that you might be in right relationship with Him, so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We've been in a series these last few weeks that I'm very excited about. It's called Storytellers. And I've been challenging you, each one of you, to grow bolder and more knowledgeable and give you some tools so that you can share your story. I've challenged you, you might recall a few weeks ago, to share your three-part story if you're a Christian. Every Christian has a three-part story. And I gave you a tool. And hopefully several of you have begun to write out your testimony. You've worked on it and you've practiced it. Maybe some of you have even been bold enough to share that testimony with somebody. It's what I want you to do. Not only that, but we've been talking about sharing God's story. And maybe somebody out there, you've had the chance to share the gospel with someone. Keep in mind, we're going somewhere with this. We want our Sunday school classes and our small groups to become gospel focused and to become evangelistic and to take the message to your friends and acquaintances, to your unique sphere of influence. And we're going to use it. We're going to do this through stories, because people are wired to stories. We're using the storying technique. And on May the 2nd, Mark Snowden is going to come here to this church. He works for the Missouri Baptist Convention, and he developed this strategy called storying. He developed it when he was working for the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board. And now he's sharing it with churches so that you can use this as a tool. Now, it's not the only tool. It is a tool to share the gospel. Probably a pretty effective tool in this day and age because of something that we've talked about last week, biblical illiteracy and political correctness. And so I'm challenging you to learn and to become bold in sharing your story. Will you do that? We're going to challenge you at the end of this service. But one of the things that you need to think about today, and I'm going to spend just a few minutes on this text, one verse, is this. When we are saved, when we become part of God's story, and we're called to build the kingdom, and I think every person, every Christian in here would agree that that's our ultimate mission, that it looks differently for different people. For some people, it involves going on a mission trip where we might be leaving this country. In a few minutes, we're going to commission Dale Baker. And here's the thing. We've gone on several of these trips now because we've agreed to be an engaging church in West Africa. Please don't let this time of commissioning become commonplace. Please don't think it's just another trip. Folks, there is spiritual warfare involved, and I plead with you to please lift up Dale in prayer. Lift up Ava. Lift up the K people, and lift up this mission daily in your daily prayer time with the Lord. So it might be going on a mission trip, but it might not. It might be that you're just called to minister in your neighborhood, to minister in your workplace, to minister at school, to be on mission right where you are. Every one of you are missionaries. If you have this story, God's story, and it's changed your life, and you know this story, then you've got to be sharing the story. And so that's what we're talking about today. And if we're going to share God's story effectively in this culture for the whole of our lives, it's going to take passion. Passion. That's the word I want in your minds today. I want to implant that in your minds. It's going to take passion. You can learn the techniques. You can make it, sign a commitment card and say, I will share. You can write out your testimony. But you and I will not be effective witnesses until we're passionate about this gospel. Until we're passionate about this story. You know, as I've gotten to know you all, and some of you I know better than others, and as we've hung out together as I've been here these 4.5 years, one of the things we learn about one another is what we're passionate about. I can tell some of you exactly what you love to do. I know your interests. I know what you're passionate about. And if you know me, you know what my passions are. Folks, today I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will make us passionate about God's story and passionate about reaching lost people. Today I want to preach to you on the subject of a passion for reaching people for God and for Christ Jesus. And we've seen some models of this. We've seen models in the New Testament. Paul is a model of someone who was passionate throughout his life from the time that he was saved for winning people to Christ. And then there was that guy that we don't know as well named Philip, who was originally a deacon, but eventually became known as the evangelist because he was passionate about sharing his story and sharing the story, God's grand story of salvation. But today I want to point you to one verse in a great passage of scripture about a great man who had a passion for God. And his name was Jeremiah. Please turn to Jeremiah chapter 20, if you will, today. We need a passion. And one of the best examples of someone who had a passion for souls or for lives was Jeremiah. Just a little insight as you turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. This guy preached for 40 years in the southern kingdom. And nobody paid attention to him. At least not very often. It was very few and very far between the people listened to him. In fact, they basically ignored him. Even his own family ignored him. Can you imagine that? Hopefully we can at least get love from our families, but his family ignored him. Some people persecuted him. 40 years, Jeremiah stood tall in the face of opposition. God, the reason for that is because God had sent Jeremiah to preach an unpopular message. It was a message of judgment to a drifting people. And for 5 different kings, Jeremiah faithfully preached. And there were people that opposed him, people that threatened him, tried to take his life. They put him in stocks. They publicly humiliated him. And he was even thrown into a pit. Now, I'm not saying all that's going to happen to you. Chances are none of it's going to happen to you, really. If you want to know the truth, we don't know what persecution is here in this country. But even if we do experience a measure of persecution, we need what Jeremiah had. Now, what did Jeremiah have throughout all of this time, all of these 40 years that he faithfully shared God's story or God's message? He had passion. And I want you to see it. It's right here in one verse. It's in chapter 20 and verse 9. That's what I want to preach from today, just this one verse. This is what Jeremiah says. Listen to the word of God. But this is Jeremiah's story as well. If I say, I won't mention him or speak any longer in his name, listen to this, his message becomes a fire burning in my heart, shut up in my bones. I become tired of holding it in, and I cannot prevail. Let's pray. Father, as we think about your great story of salvation, we think about the fact that we are recipients of something we don't deserve, something that is beyond ourselves. It's your grand and wise plan. Lord, forgive us for losing our passion. Forgive me for when I personally lose my passion for telling this grand story. Lord, it doesn't matter that many in the culture don't want to hear. It doesn't matter that our culture has drifted away from biblical foundation. That just makes us more like the first century church. There are still opportunities. Lord, you have us on this earth for a purpose. Our purpose is to be your ambassadors. Not just the preacher, not just the missionary, not just the deacon, but anyone who has a three-part story. Lord, we need to be storytellers for you. God, for those here today who are not believers in Jesus yet at this point, Lord, I'm so glad that they're here. Help them to feel welcome. Help them to benefit from what we're sharing. Help them to see with eyes that are spiritual eyes why we are so in love with this Jesus, why we are so crazy about him that we need to go to the ends of the earth to share him and share his story. Help me, Lord, to be your vessel today. Holy Spirit, I pray that there would be a fire in my bones. It wouldn't be shut up today, that it would just burst forth because you deserve what we can give to you by sharing our stories. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, Jeremiah had a passion that just wouldn't quit. Now, I'm not saying he didn't get down sometimes. If you read on in this verse, we don't have time to share it today, you're going to see that Jeremiah got depressed. He wasn't called the weeping prophet for nothing. I'm not saying Jeremiah didn't sacrifice. Do you know he never married? And that was by God's design. It was an object lesson for Israel. Jeremiah had his troubles. He was discouraged. In fact, You read this chapter, I don't know of a man any more discouraged in the Bible than Jeremiah in chapter 20. The people were apathetic, they were indifferent. But you know what? Jeremiah had a passion. A passion for people, a passion that God had put inside him. And I believe there are four characteristics of a person who is passionate about sharing stories and sharing God's love and God's word. And my prayer is that individuals in this room listening to me today would have a passion for God's story. And that Hillcrest Baptist Church would have a passion for storytelling. And that our denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention, would be passionate about reaching lives for Jesus Christ. And so let me give you these four things today very quickly. Number one, a passion for reaching people begins with Christians praying. A passion for reaching people begins with Christians praying. R.A. Torrey was a great man of God and a great prayer warrior, and he said one time, pray for great things, expect great things, work for great things, but above all else, pray. And there was a man who was pastor, a man named George Truett, who was pastor at First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, before Criswell. Great man of God. Great man of prayer. And Truett said one time in a sermon that a person who would win others to Christ must pray much for him and for them. So folks, it's all got to start with us getting on our knees. And we know that. We've talked about that before. But this is where it starts, with people praying privately and corporately and coming together with one another and praying about their needs, praying for boldness and praying for revival. We need to pray for souls and pray for one another. When people begin to pray, folks, that's when God begins to work. Folks, I tell you, prayer works. And we are so anemic when it comes to prayer. And I'm pointing at myself when I say that. I've got so far to go, and I am so weak in my prayer life. I want to grow stronger in prayer. Reaching people with passion begins with prayer. I hope that you'll pray, first of all, for personal conviction and urgency. Would you do that for your pastor just in the next week and the weeks leading up to Easter? Pray for passion. Pray for urgency. Pray for conviction. You know, there's an old saying, people don't get saved until somebody gets concerned. And I've found that if we don't get concerned, somebody else is going to reach them. I've got some stats here that are kind of amazing that'll blow you away. The Mormon Church, which is not a Christian group, by the way, they preach a false gospel and a false doctrine. The Mormon Church is passionate about reaching people with their doctrines. Did you know that there are 61,000 full-time Mormon missionaries spread throughout the world today? That ought to make us ashamed. Do you know that the Southern Baptists do a great job with missions. I'm not knocking it. But we have fewer than 5,000 full-time missionaries on the field internationally. And when it comes to the North American missionaries, it's around 2,600 fully funded, jointly funded, and student missionaries. 61,000 full-time missionaries. You know how they do it? Anytime a family who is dedicated to the Mormon Church, when a child is born into that family dedicates that child or commits that child to 2 years of service. Radical, isn't it? What if we did something like that? What if we set aside funds so that our kids would be ready and we prayed over them and we committed them that they would go and do missions? These 61,000 Mormon missionaries that are all over the globe, they have a goal in mind of making 25 contacts per day. Now, I know they go out in pairs, so I'm not sure if this is exactly accurate, but it still kind of hits the point. If they achieve that, if they make 25 contacts a day, 61,000 of them, you do the math, that is 1.5 million people spoken to per day. 4.5 million per month, 547 million people a year. Folks, it's serious. They have a zeal and a passion for God, and for their gospel, I should say. And we need to have a passion for reaching lost souls. Here's a second thing to do. Pray for a lost person by name. pray for a lost person by name. When's the last time you did that? You know, we have lists sometimes. We have lists of people we pray for. When's the last time you really got passionate in your prayer closet and with other believers praying by name for lost people? I'll tell you a story one time. I went on a mission trip. You know, prayer works. Went on a mission trip to Mexico with Stephen Strauss. It was my first trip to another country. And all week long, we had the anointing of God on us. There's no other way to put it. We were able to preach openly in this village in Chiapas, Mexico. We saw people come to faith in Christ. It was awesome. First time I ever got to lead someone to Christ through a translator. Well, we had this driver who drove us everywhere. We stayed about 50 miles away in another city. And his name, I don't know what his real name was. We called him Rabbit. Name was Rabbit. And Rabbit, you know how it is when you start hanging out with someone. Even though we couldn't speak the same language, you kind of get close to somebody, and we became friends. And the people that were with us on the trip, they would talk to Rabbit, and somebody, a lady from my church, from Swedenborg, she taught him a couple words to say. Because she always sat up front next to him. You know what? There's two words I know that man knew in English. Slug bug. Slug bug. That's what she taught him. And so they would do that little game, you know, with the Volkswagens. And there's a lot of Volkswagens in Mexico, let me tell you. So Rabbit grew, we grew to love him. And he'd sit there every night, and he'd listen to us preach. He'd listen to the translation, and he'd be with us at dinner time, but showed no sign of any interest. Well, the last night we were there, the guy that kind of organized the trip, Arturo Nunez, who was a native of that area, now lives in Joplin, he came up to me. I didn't ask him. The Holy Spirit prompted him. He said, you know what? You go talk to Rabbit. He needs to know Christ. And so I grabbed Elsa, who was from southwest Missouri, and she was our translator. She was Hispanic and she could speak Spanish. And she went over to him, and I talked with him. I shared the gospel. He shook his head and said, no, I'm not ready. And Arturo, I was crushed. And Arturo kind of encouraged me. He said, you know, don't worry about it. The fact that he said no was good. Because they like to please you so much in that culture that sometimes they'll say yes just to get you to do, just to do what they think you want them to do. So that's a good sign that he shook his head no. Well, Rabbit took us to the airport early. Man, if you ever go on mission with Stephen, you gotta get up early. I mean, it was by like 2 a.m. We got up to drive to the airport and it's still dark. And I'll never forget, we're getting off that bus to go into the airport and I saw Rabbit and I grabbed Elsa. I said, Elsa, I need to talk to Rabbit before we leave. And I looked him in the eye, and through the interpreter, I said, Rabbit, please consider what I've told you. Please consider what you've heard, because it's the truth. I would stake my life on it. It's changed my life. Please give it some thought. Well, I went back to Missouri. Actually came to Hillcrest after that. And didn't get to go back there. I knew I wasn't going back, but you know what? I wrote Rabbit's name in my prayer journal. And I prayed for him every day. I prayed. I didn't have any contact with him. I didn't have any way of knowing what was going on. Well, the next year, Stephen takes another group down there, and I get a text. I'm here. By this time, I'm here, and I'm preaching, and there's a text, just a simple text one day that made my heart leap. It said, Rabbit is now a believer. He's a Christian. He's trusted Christ! Exclamation point. Folks, prayer works. It wasn't my preaching that did that. It was the Holy Spirit of God, and prayer works. Pray for lost people by name, and thirdly, pray for opportunities to share. Pray that you'll make the most of the opportunities you have to share. Robert Moffat said one time, we have all eternity to celebrate our victories, but only one short hour before sunset in which to win them. So we've got to be praying first and foremost. But secondly, in order to reach people, we must be persistent in the work of evangelism. Be persistent in the work of evangelism. That just means not to give up. We give up so easily. Now, first of all, that means that we get involved and we stay involved in doing missions. I am so grateful that God called me to this great church because I tell people all the time, when they ask me about Hillcrest, I say, well, it's a missional church. And you see these flags around the building and you see what we're doing with the Family Life Center. We're a missional church. We don't need to lose that. And I know it gets hard sometimes. Sometimes, we're tired. Sometimes we're getting older and we're thinking, man, I don't know. But man, let's still be about the work of the Lord. Let's continue to do missions. We need to be intentional about it. You know, our lives are busy. One of the things the devil uses in modern society is he keeps us so busy that we miss people. We miss opportunities. We miss seeing people. So let's be intentional. part of being passionate is being intentional in doing missions. And that might be going down to Hillcrest School, maybe ministering to the students there or the teachers that are there. We have a window still to get to Hillcrest School before Hillcrest leaves us, the sixth graders leave us. It might be serving people who live around us, people who live right around this neighborhood. It might be going on a mission trip somewhere else in the United States or somewhere overseas. It might be that God has called you to make a commitment to be a full-time missionary or a journeyman. If you're a young person, which is a 2-year plan for missions that our convention, our denomination does. It might be just making calls. I'll never forget in a previous church where I was, there was a lady as she got older. She wasn't able to get out as much anymore. And what she would do is she would witness to people on the phone. No telling how many people she won to the Lord just talking to them. She was a soul winner to telemarketers. A lot of you guys, you've cut off the telemarketers. I know I did. They still call every once in a while. But she'd say, you know, she'd listen to their pitch and she'd say, you know, I've got something I'd like to share with you. Name was Arvella Williams. Great woman of God. Gone to be with the Lord now. Whatever it is, you need to get involved. Everyone needs to be doing their part. You don't have to be a preacher, but you do have a role to play. Now, my role as pastor is to equip you. I don't know if you knew that or not. I mean, I'm a witness too. I'm a storyteller too, but my main responsibility is to equip you and send you out into the field. The fields are white with harvest. Pray to the Lord to send out workers for the harvest. So you need to remember some things. As you serve in this context, as you're passionate about this. Remember Jeremiah. 40 years he preached and it was difficult. I'm not saying it's always going to be easy. It's not always easy to get here on Wednesday night for Awana, but we need to do it. We are reaching people. We are reaching children for the Lord Jesus Christ through Awana. But I want you to remember three things. As you endeavor to be committed and tenacious and persistent in your witness. Number one, remember to spend time with unbelievers building bridges. Every time you're with an unbeliever, make it count. Build bridges. And it doesn't matter if it's a classmate or a coworker or a family member. Share with them. Build bridges. Live your life as a verbal witness and a lifestyle witness. See, a lot of people get discouraged because they're not the ones that actually lead someone to Christ. And the truth of the matter is usually if God is working on someone and calling them, it's several people, several circumstances, several things working all at once. And you might be number one out of the seventh person that talks to that individual. You may not be the one that actually gets to pray with that person as they commit their lives to Christ. But you are just as valuable as person number seven who is there at the right time. I've had some privileges as a pastor where people have come up to me and they have said, Pastor, I need to get saved. I'm ready. How do I get saved? I've had people do that. It's awesome to be number seven. It's awesome to bow with somebody and pray and hear them trust Christ as Savior. But you know what? I'm not so naive, nor am I so stuck on myself and proud to think that there weren't other people involved in that whole situation. There weren't circumstances where God was driving them or leading them to want to have a relationship with Him. So spend time with unbelievers building bridges. And remember this too. Remember that your role is to share. God's role is to save. You know, it's not about putting another notch on your belt. I've got another one, won another one. I've heard people talk about, I've saved so many people. You don't save anybody. God saves them. You're just faithful. And guess what? That's also a freeing thing. It's freeing because if you are like Jeremiah, maybe we don't have a lot of success. That doesn't mean that you've not been successful, that God has not blessed and used what you're doing. You don't save anyone. I don't save anyone. We can't make anyone follow Christ. Our commission is to share the message. And Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Thirdly, remember that many will reject Jesus, but some will believe. Many will reject Jesus, but some will believe. You say, well, Pastor, you're throwing water on me. Why would you say that? I say it because Jesus said it. Listen to what it says. I think this is going to be on the screen. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said these words, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who will go through it." How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Now, when Jesus said that, he didn't mean that it's difficult to be a follower. It's costly, but it's easy to be a follower of Christ, but few find it, because many people are blinded. Their eyes are blinded to the truth. They don't, the scales have not been lifted from their eyes. And Jesus is saying that many people will reject him, but some will believe. Some will believe. And that's a freeing thing, because we don't know who those are. You've heard me say it before, but it's so good I'll just say it again. This is an Adrian Rogers quote. Since we don't know who the elect are, and it's going to be a presidential year, we don't know who the elect are, let's just nominate everybody. You know, you're not a judge of what's going on inside someone. Sometimes we'll size someone up and say, man, I don't think that's a tough looking guy. I don't think I better go to share with him. I don't know that he's ready or he even wants Christ. Or that lady, she'd never come to Christ. I don't think I better share with her. You don't know. I don't know. The amazing thing is sometimes the most unlikely people are the ones that God wants you to share with, and they're the ones God is leading. Their hearts are tender, and they're the ones who are going to be saved. So our passion for souls must be characterized by persistence. Listen to what Wade Paris said. All right, this is a quote from Wade Paris with the IMB. Our goal is to find the hearts he's prepared. Our goal is to find the hearts that he's prepared. Thirdly, third point, in order to reach people passionately, we must show genuine love and concern. Genuine love and concern. Folks, you've got an ace card. Christian, you've got an ace in the hole that the world doesn't have. And it's love. It's love that is beyond this type of love, this type of worldly love, that's what's in it for me and what can I get out of this. You have Christ's love inside of you. This is the Christian's trump card. They will know that we are Christians by our love. That's the kind of love that changes the world. How do I stand out from the rest of the world as a Christian? Show genuine love and concern. That's what it's going to take. Demonstrate love and concern, first of all, by being a true friend. We need to learn to see other people. See them where they really are. See their hurts and their needs and their lives. One of the greatest expressions of love is just to notice people. Heard a story one time about a little boy who was trying desperately to get the attention of his busy father. Father always had something going on, and that little boy kept trying to get his attention. And one day he'd hurt his knee. He'd fallen down outside, and he kept trying to get his dad's attention. Until finally, he did something really drastic, and he broke a dish. And the father said, "What in the world are you doing, son? Why are you trying to get my attention?" He was sharp with him. And he said, "Well, I've hurt my knee, Dad." And he said, "Well, what can I do about it?" He said, "You could say, ouch." We don't say ouch enough. We don't enter into the situations and circumstances of other people. And not only that, but we're terrible listeners. We demonstrate love and concern by having a listening ear, hearing others' story, hearing what's going on in their lives. Listen to what David Augsburger said. He said, "Being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, the two are almost indistinguishable." You see, we are so busy wanting to put our own word out there, whether it's on Facebook or in personal conversations, that we don't hear what other people have to say. Some people just want to be heard. When you're working with somebody, ask about their story. Really give them time and listen to what they have to say. Norm Wakefield said one time, "Most conversations are dialogues of the deaf. Everybody's talking, no one is listening." That's how you distinguish yourself as a Christian, with genuine love and concern. And demonstrate love and concern. Here's the third part of that. And earn the right to share your story. As you live your life for Christ, you earn the right to share your story. You listen to what they have to tell you, and you begin to relate your story. And you're creative, and you build relationships. And folks, there are many, many bridges. You know, Jesus recognized everybody as a person of worth. There wasn't anybody, no matter how marginalized, no matter how messed up they were, there wasn't anybody that Jesus wouldn't go to. It's easy for me to love people who love me and agree with me. We need to be kind to unkind people. kind people who think differently from us. We need to show love. Do you know in Matthew 21, listen to this. This just dawned on me and I put this in here. But in Matthew 21, Jesus is talking about what it's going to be like in the last days. And one of the things he says in the Olivet Discourse, which is what that is that the love of many will grow cold. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but I can kind of imagine. It tells me that in the last days, the world will be starved for love. What would happen if they started seeing real love out of us, out of the church? In order to reach people, we must show genuine love and concern. But finally today, in order to reach people, we must share God's story. Share God's story. Christian, you have a powerful message that has set you free. You have the most important story there is to be told. And so your obligation, your responsibility is to share your faith. And there are different ways to do that. But listen to me. To be a Christian is to feel compassion and responsibility for a lost world around us. And you need to get involved. Jeremiah said, I have a passion in my soul. I have a fire that is shut up in my bones. If they never hear me, even if they never respond, I will persist because God has put a fire in my heart. To be Christian is to have that fire in your heart. So, how do we share God's story? Well, first of all, you share your three-part story. Fill that testimony out and work on that. If you've got to practice with someone you know, someone who's a Christian, someone in your family, practice sharing your story. Secondly, share God's grand story. Share the gospel. And we'll talk about that in days ahead, about how you can use this storytelling technique. I was going to share creation of Christ today. I don't have time to do that. But I'm going to share it with you sometime. We're going to model that. And that's one tool. If you have another way of doing it, it's not wrong. But in this culture, I think C2C can be very effective in the 21st century. Thirdly, is ask for a decision. A lot of times we will go to all these extents, we'll work up our courage and we'll share with people, and we never ask for a decision. We don't close the deal. Very simple. When you build up a relationship with a person and you're called upon by the Holy Spirit to share, close the deal. Very simply, you can just say something like this. Is there any reason not to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Is there anything that's keeping you from trusting in Jesus alone to restore you to a right relationship with God? Is there any reason why you can't come to faith in Christ right now? Believing that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead. Telling Jesus that you want to trust Him with your life and that you want to follow Him from here on out. Giving Him your life. Folks, I close this message very simply, bring you back to verse 9 of Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah had a passion for lost people. And I pray for a denomination. I pray for a church. I pray for a people. I pray for myself that I would have a passion, a fire in my heart, not just to talk about missions, not just to talk about evangelism, not just to read about it, not even just to preach about it, but to do missions. And I pray that you'll have that passion too. And you're never too old to start. You never retire from God's service. And not only that, but one person can make a difference. Some of you, the devil's lied to you and said, you can't make a difference. You're just one person. God can do amazing things through one person. Satan wants you to believe you can't make a difference for the kingdom. And I believe that if you'll pray, God will stir your heart. God will put a desire in your heart when you surrender to His call. When you have a willingness to say, Lord, I'll do my part. I don't know what it is. I might not be very talented. I don't know where it's going to lead me. But Lord, I'll do my part. And God puts a stirring in your heart. A passion. A fire. That's where it starts. As Jeremiah said, a fire shut up in my bones. Let's pray together right now. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to have an invitation in just a moment. But I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge myself that as we've heard the word, as we've looked through this series of storytellers and looked at how to be more effective at sharing the story, that we wouldn't just hear the word, but we'd be doers of the word. And I don't know how you want to make that commitment today. Maybe the Holy Spirit is impressing upon you to come forward and stand in this altar and say, I will be your witness, Lord. I know there's people around me that need to hear my story and need to hear your grand story. And I recognize that people are just wired that way. I commit to learning more and to being an effective witness. Would thrill my heart if that's how God would lead you today. Maybe you just need to make a decision where you are. That I need to learn more. I've been unfaithful. I've been wrong and disobedient. Maybe there's somebody here today who's not saved. I am so glad that you're here today. I hope that you don't feel that you don't belong here, that we don't love you. I'm glad that you're hearing God's word, and hopefully you see now why we have such a passion. Because Jesus means all to us. He has given us what we could never do for ourselves. We're in a right relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. So we're going to give you an opportunity during this invitation to pray a prayer of repentance and a prayer of faith. It's very simple. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then finally, after this invitation is finished today, however long it takes, we don't want to squelch the Holy Spirit, then we're going to commission Dale to go out on this mission trip to West Africa to make your name known and make your name famous. Lord, I thank you for this time today. I thank you for the example of Jeremiah, that you put a fire in his bones. You put a message in his life that had to get out. He had a passion for reaching people. And Lord, he's a wonderful example to us because he did struggle. He did get depressed. And he didn't always have the great results that we sometimes think come with having a passion for reaching people. But he was faithful. And Lord, there's no doubt in my mind that when he came to heaven, you told him, well done, good and faithful servant. Help us to be like that. Help us to have a passion for reaching souls as individuals here today and as Hillcrest Baptist Church. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.